Welcome, everyone, to worship on this Sunday morning. I'm glad that you are all with us. My name is Todd Misfelt, pastoral intern, member of this church, fellow member of the body of Christ. Welcome. Well, today is the start of a new day, obviously, a new week, and a new year. And as followers of Jesus, we know that we have a great, great God. And how fitting it is that we gather in this time, in this kind of a celebration of newness of this year, to worship as a body of Christ here in this corner in Cupertino. And we are not here just as individuals, but again, as I said, as a body joined together to worship our God. We want to set our priority on God for this day, this week, this month, this year, how great He is to worship and to remember all that Jesus taught us. Well, Pastor Kim is on sabbatical, but she's made a series of videos, and we're going to start worship this morning by listening to a brief message from Kim.
Greetings, West Valley Presbyterian Church. Happy 2016. I am here on this video to let you know that right now I am on sabbatical in Kauai with my family, having a hopefully wonderful time. And today you get to hear Todd Misfelt give a message on prayer. Prayer is endemic to West Valley. It is part of our DNA. So listen up and hear a great message on how you can communicate with God each and every day. Welcome to worship.
Let's join our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, Creator of the universe, Lord of our souls, we thank you for this last year. As we ponder this last year, we think of loved ones who have departed. We think of dreams that have been accomplished. We think of work that still remains undone. And all of our time is in thy hands. We thank you for the new year, for new opportunities, for new challenges, for your grace which sustains us. And we surrender our lives to you anew this morning and here at the beginning of the year. For you alone are our hope and our salvation. Please remind us that every day is a precious gift from you. We confess our frailty and brokenness. We confess our inadequacy. We confess the sin which so easily entangles us. And we ask for your forgiveness and pray for cleansing through the blood of Jesus, who suffered and died and rose again on our behalf. And we are reminded of your word, which tells us that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from you and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. For we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies as well. As a congregation, we lift up before you several of our members. We pray for Carrie Tarleton as she mourns the loss of her husband. We pray for your mercy and comfort on the Tarleton family at this time. We remember Ed Maddie's life, a longtime member of our church. We thank you for the memorial service yesterday, and we pray for your blessing upon Ed's family as they both mourn his loss and celebrate his life. And for our dear sister, Sharon LeClaire, we ask that you bless her with healing as she is in the hospital this day. And Father, as we bring before you the offering of our life and the offerings of our earnings, we join together in the prayer which you have taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'"
Well, thank you, Steve. Steve Norman, if you missed the last couple of weeks, is our new youth director, and so we certainly welcome him. Let me open in prayer. Dear Lord, bless this meditation, bless the words from my mouth, bless the ears that hear it. May this be for your greater, greater glory. Amen. So over the next month and a half, while Kim is gone, we're going to be cherry-picking some of the disciplines from C.F. Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline. So this morning, we're going to be concentrating on prayer. So the passage that Steve just read, you know, one of the disciples approaches Jesus and said, "Teach us how to pray." Now, this disciple is probably a good Jew. He's probably been praying all of his life. But there was something that he saw in Jesus' prayer that was different. And he thought, or she thought, that they could learn from Jesus. So the church has taken Jesus' prayer from Luke 11 and its longer parallel in Matthew 6 and formulated it into what we call the Lord's Prayer. If you've been raised in the church, you probably know this. It's an example of a formal prayer in which the words are composed, we memorize it, and we recite it together, just as we did with Mike Clark just now in a section for congregational prayer. So this is, it's a lovely prayer. You know, memorized prayer is something that we can do corporately together as one body. And we should all learn it, and we should all practice this. And last week, Chris Bencher talked to the children and said, you know, we can study the structure of the Lord's Prayer and we can learn aspects of how Jesus was telling us how to pray. So one of the ways I learned was through an acronym. The one I learned was ACTS. And I'm sure most of you have seen this, right? So you start off with adoration, praising God for who he is. Then it's confession. You know, agreeing with God that that we're not perfect, that there are things that we have done wrong. Then you move on to thanksgiving, to thank God for everything that he has given you individually and us corporately. Finally, supplication. And that's where we ask our particular petition. So one might pray, "Dear God, you are my Lord. I often fall short of what I do. Thank you for all the good things you provide me. Please watch over me as I drive home from work. Amen." Follows the acronym, follows the template. Of course, you can expand on any part of that and change it, you know, from a 15-second prayer into, you know, as long as you want. I like to augment myself, the adoration part. I like to concentrate maybe on a verse of scripture that I've read that gives a truth of God and praise him for that. So, for example, in this situation this morning, I might want to say that, "Praise you, God, that you want to teach us how to pray. Or that you take the time, Lord, to listen to our questions and to respond." And there are other acronyms besides ACTS. There's prayer and praise, and that's what we use in this church to teach our youth in terms of how to pray. Now, I want to mention as gently as I can one word of caution here. Because we can, you know, take an acronym like this and concentrate on the supplication part, concentrate on what we are asking for. You know, we you can start to look at God as kind of some sort of cosmic waiter that we get to do our beck and our call. It's a little bit like this picture where, you know, you've got us and God and we pray, as prayer goes, and then magically we get all these things that God's going to do for us. And that's part. You know, and God does respond to what we pray, but it's not just about us. That's why I've titled this Prayer and Us, because it's not all about us. So enough of that. And we're warned about this in Scripture. In James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." So there's more to prayer than formal prayer. In one book in my library, the Spiritual Disciplines Handbook, it lists the following whole bunches of prayer. And, I mean, you could spend a sermon on each one of these. There's a ton of depth you can go on. C.F. Foster even mentions a couple of new little prayers that I had not seen before called flash prayers and swishing prayers. So there's a lot. And I don't want to concentrate on this. I don't want to get distracted by it. Other than point out that prayer is very deep. There's a lot to it. Foster says that real prayer is something we learn. There's something about the quality and quantity of Jesus' praying caused the disciples to see how little they knew about prayer. If their praying was to make any difference on the human scene, then there were some things that they needed to learn. Well, that's a new thought. We need to learn how to pray better. You don't always think about that. But if the disciple in Luke can learn how to pray better, you know, then so can we. So how do we do this? I would suggest the first thing you have to do is to assume that we can learn, have faith that we can learn, and that God will answer our prayers. It's not just motions we're going to. The other thing about learning is you have to try something. You have to try something new. And if we're going to try something to get the results, we have to pay attention to what God does. To illustrate this, let me tell you a story about my mother, who's not with us anymore, but I thought it would be a great idea if she had a cell phone. So I got a cell phone and I gave it to her, and she picked it up, dialed a number, put it to her ear, looked puzzled for a second, and then looked disgusted. She said, "This thing doesn't work. I dialed Judy's number and she's not there." Set it down. I don't think she wanted to try that thing again. You know, she didn't know that you had to press the talk button, right? And that's the experience that some of us have with prayer. We try it. Maybe as a new Christian, you try it. You pray for something. It doesn't happen. And you think it's broken. It doesn't work. So learning something new, as I said, means we have to pay attention to the results of our efforts. And when it doesn't work, try something else. When I was a software engineer and I had a large program I was working on and it didn't work, you know, I wasn't just like my mom, it doesn't work. You know, Michael's laughing over here. You know. You try something small, you see how it works, you learn from that, then you try something different, see how it works, and eventually you understand what's going on. Prayer works like that. We have to experiment with it, see the results, and learn from it. It's an active process. It's more like this picture, where there we are, us and God. We pray, But then God listens. And after God listens, God speaks. There we go. But after God speaks, we have a role too. We need to listen to what God's saying. Prayer is a conversation with God. Aren't we lucky? And if we listen, then we are changed. That's what's prayer about. Prayer is about changing. It's about being closer to God. Kierkegaard said, a man prayed, and at first he thought the prayer was about talking, but he came more and more quiet until in the end, he learned that prayer was about listening. And Foster adds to that, saying, one of the most critical aspects in learning to pray for others is to get in contact with God so that His life and power can flow through us into others. Now, even if you've been praying for years, I believe you can still learn how to pray more effectively. Now, you know, you may be saying in your head, you know, I know how to pray. I've been praying hard, and I pray a lot. That may be true. But you also have to remember to pay attention to the results of your prayers. You know, you may just be stubborn and keep trying the same thing over and over again, like we do sometimes in parenting our children, right? And Foster admits this of himself. He says that for years I'd prayed for many things with great intensity, but only with marginal success. By observing, we meet our goal, our objective, which is to grow closer to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that says that we should always be in prayer. Verse 16 says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, when we practice prayer, we grow closer to God. I'm a visual person, so I have to show you what this looks like in my mind. But it's like instead of being separated from God, we become enveloped with God's desires. And through that, we know God better. And we can see the world more by seeing the results of what God does. We can see God's perspective on the world. You know, and prayer ceases to be, you know, a task, an onerous task, something that we just have to do. And it becomes a conversation with a good friend. And Foster says, to pray is to change. Prayer is a central avenue God uses to transform us. And if we're unwilling to change, we will abandon prayer as a noticeable characteristic of our lives. And the closer we become to the heartbeat of God, the more we see our need and the more we desire to be conformed to Christ. In prayer, real prayer, we begin to think God's thoughts after Him, to desire the things He desires, to love the things He loves, to will the things that God wills. So how do we learn this? The first thing is, if you want to conform to God's will, you have to learn the God's will, you know, before praying. Foster writes, perhaps the most astonishing characteristics of Jesus' praying is that when He prayed for others, He never concluded by saying, if it be your will. Nor did the disciples or the prophets do this when they were praying for others. They obviously believed that they knew God's will before they prayed, you know, that's a prayer of faith. You also choose the proper place and time to prayer. Jesus prayed in public. He prayed alone in private. He prayed in the temple. He prayed with a small group, his disciples. If you're stuck in the habit of playing in just one place, try playing someplace different. Join us on Tuesday mornings when we pray through the yellow cards. Pray in your small groups. Join a small group so you can pray with them. Also consider that maybe it's not time to pray something. Maybe God needs to show you a different characteristic of the situation. Maybe you have to watch a little bit before praying. Next thing is you can seek out people who are experts. We have some great prayers in this church. Talk to them. Ask them how they pray. Pray with them. There's books, many books on it. It's intimidating sometimes, but you got to do it. And expect change. God doesn't want us just going through the same motions again and again and again. But he wants to draw us to him. And we need to expect that. We need to look for that. But also, you got to pray now. Don't stop. Don't wait until everything is perfect. God wants to hear from you now. Got to start practicing too. And have faith. You know, faith like a little child. You know, Jesus calls the little children to him in the Gospels, and that is also what we are like with God. And if a child asks a good request of a good parent, the good parent grants that request, doesn't he? And we have a good God, an excellent Father, who listens to us and wants us to give our request to him. So no matter how simple, and in fact, the last part, we should keep prayer simple. Don't make it too complicated. It's not a legal contract. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, it says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. You need to keep prayer simple. So this is just a sample. There's much more. I'm sure we've heard other sermons on prayers. And this is just a taste of the discipline of prayer. Well, my challenge to you is to break out of the routine that you are in. Try something different. And look at the results. If it doesn't work, try something else. God is there. God will answer your prayers. And God will use those prayers to bring you closer to him. So please join me. Dear Jesus, you are our Lord and Savior. You know, we do not deserve to be called your followers because at times we do it so poorly. But you still accept us. And we confess that we sin, Lord. We confess that we act on our own selfish desires and not always according to your will. Show us your will and forgive us for what we have done. We thank you that you still accept us, that you show us the way to grow closer to you. We thank you that you took the time to teach us how to pray. And we thank you for all that you did for us on the cross. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just as Jesus taught us to pray, Jesus also gave us instructions how to remember him and his death upon a cross. And we shift now to remembering Jesus and what he did.
Thank you, Todd. Am I on? I am. Good. We come to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ as we are invited, as has been the practice of the church from the very beginning, to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and the knowledge that our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself, body and blood, to defeat the powers of darkness and evil and at the same time to break the chains of that evil and that sinful predisposition in us. And he said, take and eat. And he said to drink, to make very intimately part of our very selves the reality of his sacrifice, that which actually happened on the cross, and the power demonstrated in his resurrection, that by faith we are not merely tasting of elements. There is a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. In some of the higher liturgical churches, Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church, there is an emphasis upon the sacrament elements themselves, that somehow God transforms them into the body and blood of Christ. We've looked at that through the centuries, and we believe that the miracle is someplace else, not there. The great Swiss theologian Huldreich Zwingli said back in the 16th century, he says, the miracle is not in the bread and the cup. It's in the believer. And the power of that transformation is greater within the heart of a believing person who humbly comes to the sacrament than it could ever be in bread and in wine. We partake of something profound, something based on an actual transaction, more powerful and more real than the American Revolution and the forming of our republic and the establishment of our Constitution. And the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, something more durable, more real, more profound, and more relevant even than that, is here represented. So we're in the sanctuary and we come with our own faith, our own concerns. It's not so much in the elements, but in us. And what Todd has so helpfully presented today as a matter of prayer is also a way to approach the sacrament of our Savior. Adoration, that fulfillment of what Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4, that God, the Father, seeks us to worship Him in spirit and truth. And however weak our heart for worship, or however strong, we come, we adore, we confess, we realize that in this time and in this life, we're never fully free of the influence of the darkness of the sin around us that shapes us and moves us, and the habits we have, and those persistent sins that vex us. And we come, and in the process of confession and coming to the sacrament, there is an actual giving of grace. There is an actual empowerment by the Holy Spirit to carry us forward. Thanksgiving, to be grateful for what really has happened. How great, how significant, how personal. Supplication. Lord, make this nurturing meal a reality by your Spirit in my heart, in my mind, in my lips, in my hands, in my feet, that I may be one who bears fruit for your kingdom. All who've confessed faith in Jesus Christ, however simple, are warmly invited to this sacrament. In the 11th chapter of his letter to the first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, I delivered to you that which I received from the Lord, that a night in which he was betrayed in the upper room with his disciples before he was crucified. The night in which he was betrayed, Jesus gathered around in that place of meal, a special and holy meal. He said, after giving thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, our Lord Jesus took the cup after supper . He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. All of you, drink it. It's our tradition in this congregation to take the bread as we receive it, and when we're ready, prayerfully, in the spirit of that acronym, ACTS, and to take it in our private prayer. And then when the cup is served, to hold it until you get a signal, and we'll take it together to emphasize our oneness and our community in the power of the resurrected Christ. Take and eat and drink.
I charge you this week, meet Jesus in prayer. Live with him. Take him wherever you go this week and this year. In Jesus' name, amen.